Let's pray together as we start our time. Father, we come to you. We are so thankful for the good things that you are doing in Bethel, in our lives. Father, we are so thankful that we can come and we can sing praise to you. Lord, I pray now that you would help to still my heart and to focus my thoughts and to give me through your Holy Spirit the words that are on my heart and needed for your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. My name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here at Bethel. I get the opportunity to preach sometimes. I'm so thankful for Pastor Ken's preaching ministry here and so thankful for his friendship. I do a lot of counseling on the staff, and so in that, I'm usually dealing with people who are going through hard times. And if we were to boil it down, we would talk about hard times as being hard days or hard situations, bad situations. And the way of processing bad times and in counseling, being able to get them to have good days. Maybe you're here today and you're hungry for a good day. Maybe you're in the middle of a bad time. This would be the question that I would ask you. Just as we set off, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. If you want to turn there, Matthew 21. This is Palm Sunday. This is the kickoff of our Holy Week, of Passion Week. A full 25% of the gospel is given to this week in Jesus' life and ministry. And so it's something of importance. And what we're going to see today is that it was a good day. The question is, what makes a good day for you? Think in your mind's eye, what's a good day that you've had? What's included in a good day? What is it that makes that good day linger a little bit longer? What is it that makes that good day very sweet? Maybe you can tell I'm having a good day. I'm glad for the church family. I'm so thankful to be able to study and teach the word. I'm so grateful for my family, for my son, Colin, and his baptism, Patrick Bryant, his baptism, for the Panlilios, and the way that we partner, the way that they come together, and there's such an example of a godly young couple. I'm so thankful for that. I'm having a good day. I hope you are too, but this is the rub. It's in the middle of a bad time. That's exactly what we have here, even in Matthew chapter 21. It's a good day, but it's in the middle of a bad time. And so what we're going to talk about today is, how do we have a good day in the middle of a bad time? The times were bad in first century Israel. If you were a religious God-fearer, if you were a devout Jew, it was a hard time. Roman occupation had come in and they were taxing the people to death. They were micromanaging their lives. The religious folk were reacting and acting in accordance with how can they stay out of the most trouble because of their civil authority. Does that sound familiar? Does it sound familiar that might be a bad time that we as Bible-believing Christians might be going through, and yet I'm saying we can have a good day, even in the midst of what was going on there? But it's not only that, and it's not only that that at times frustrates us. What do we have to do to judge the world, right? Judgment starts at the house of the Lord, is what the Bible tells us. So what about the religious establishment of the new of the first century? Well, it was dark as well. It was pragmatic. It was political. It was all propaganda. It was all propped up. It wasn't real. It was ritual. Every religious person trying to get ahead or protect what they had, telling the people what they need to hear in order to be popular. Does that sound maybe familiar of the hard time we could be in today. And so we get this conspiring, and you can even see it here in John chapter 11. I'm really only going to have you be in a couple places in the scripture today, Matthew 21 being one of those places. And if you haven't gotten the Bible out of the seat back in front of you, you can, and find Matthew chapter 21. We'd love for you to track with me in the Word. The outline is going to be coming right from the text. We preach expositionally. We believe the power is in the Word. And so I'm going to bring you back to Matthew 21. You're going to see the outline pop out right at you as we walk through it, okay? So Matthew 21, if you don't have a Bible, just grab one out of the seat back in front of you. But this is in John, and I'll just share it with you here. The chief priests and the Pharisees, these are the kind of religious parties of the day. They gathered to council and said, "What are we going to do? For this man," that's Jesus, "performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone is going to believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." They were not concerned about truth. They were concerned about survival. They weren't concerned about caring for those in spiritual need. They were caring about self-preservation. It was a hard time. If you were a devout God-fearer, if you were a God-follower, it was a hard time. And so really, all of Matthew leading up to this and what we're going to see in the triumphal entry is based in that kind of a context. But you know what? The problem isn't always outside of us. The thing that maybe you're struggling with today might not be what's outside of you in the political or the religious politics. It might be something in your heart. It might be that you know you're going to fall short. And it's eating you up and you don't know what to do because part of your hard time is you knowing that you could never measure up to perfection. You know you could never measure up to what it is that the Bible asks us to do. You know that you're going to fail in the future. You know that's exactly part of this context of Matthew 21 as well. Today is a good day in the middle of a bad time, but it's not going to stay that way. If you want to flip over a couple of pages, Matthew 26, Peter, bold. And after this triumphal entry, I believe he was one of those who was crying out, "Hosanna," who honestly, genuinely believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He believes that, and yet he's going to fail. And my brothers and sisters, so will you. Even though you honestly believe that he is the King of Kings, and my son being baptized today and him going forward with his profession of faith, I want you to know that in the future you'll fail. And you'll fall short, and you'll come up and you'll say, "Man, I did it again." I want you to know that's part of the context of how we can still have a good day. It's not perfection. Peter was bold. Jesus telling Peter that he's going to deny him, and Peter says this, you can see it right up there. Peter said to Jesus, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. I will never fail you. I love you. I held you up as king at the triumphal entry. I'll never fall short. I'll never do that because I love you that much." And the bad time that you're going through right now might not be what the world is doing, but it might be what you're doing. It might be how you know that you're falling short. It might be how you know you're not doing what you ought to do, or you're not doing something you should do. How can you have a good day in the middle of that bad time? That's what we're talking about. Because Peter, as confident as he was, I will not deny you. If your Bible is like mine, I just have a couple circles and a line going across. And we see the superscript, we see the heading in Matthew chapter 26, verse 74. "Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, 'I do not know Jesus.'" My brothers and sisters, in the midst of a bad time, you can have a good day. in the middle of all of the external pressure in your life, and even in the middle of knowing that if you're walking strong today, that in the future you will fall short, don't quit. Don't shut down. Don't become depressed or despondent or isolated. But we can work on having a good day. How do we do that? This is something I want us to comprehend, to think through. How is it that you can have a good day even when the culture is against you and you know that you will fail in the future? How can you have a good day? So turn with me in Matthew chapter 21. This is how. This is really the big idea, seeing Jesus as your king. And then the outline is just going to pop out right of the text. Submit to Jesus as king. Sing to Jesus as king. Share Jesus as king. If you take that formula and you apply that to your life honestly, patiently, not instantly, not perfectly, but consciously, I believe you can have a good day in the middle of a bad time. Let's look at the text. Matthew chapter 21. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." Now, this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say of the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of God! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirring up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." So, what we see first is that we are to see Jesus as king. That's really what is going on here. Matthew 21, 1-5, we just read that. I'll pull out just a phrase, and we need to set this as the foundation for everything. Because we are going to submit to something. We will sing about something. And we will always be sharing something. Is it Jesus as king? Or is it something else? The formula is Jesus as king, submitting to that, singing to that, sharing that. That's the way to have a good day and a bad time. Not just singing, not just sharing, not just submitting. Make sense? Sharing as Jesus is king. And so that's why we're starting right here. It might sound strange to our modern ears to have someone riding in on a donkey, but in the first century, it would not have been strange. This is the way that kings rode in a peaceful posture. Not in a war horse posture, but in a peaceful posture, they would ride in on a donkey. You can even see this, 1 Samuel 1:33. This is David's son Solomon. We could talk all day about Solomon's reign and Jesus really being a better Solomon, being a better king of peace, being a better son of David, but we won't for sake of time. Here we see Solomon being put into the place of kingship. And so the King David said to them, "Take with you the servants of your Lord and have Solomon my son ride on my own mule," that's a donkey, "and bring him down to Gihon, there anoint him king over Israel, then blow the trumpet and say, 'Long live King Solomon.'" It wouldn't be strange at all in the first century to know what was happening when someone rode into town on a donkey. But it was strange that it was Jesus of Nazareth of Galilee. That was strange. He wasn't a political power. He wasn't an overwhelming force. But here, finally, the time had come, and he is revealing who he is, and he is king. As we contemplate this, and we say, okay, we see that happened, and we see how they came to him, and we see how they sing to him, we see how they submit to him, we see how they are then sharing his name, we see that. But what about now? We don't see Jesus the same way. He's not coming in on a donkey through the foyer of Bethel Baptist Church. He's not here. I can't touch him. I can't see him. What do we do with that kingship of Jesus? And so in Ephesians chapter 1, I'll turn over there, and you'll be able to read it on the screen if you want. 1:22. Helps us to put that together, to understand what it is that we have in Jesus as King. I'm going to start. This is a prayer that Paul has for us, and the point is there in Ephesians 1:22. Ephesians 1:15, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in all my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Paul is praying that we would get something. And this is then the prayer. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus is king. We are to submit to Jesus as king, even right now, even though we can't see and we can't touch him. Do you believe in spiritual warfare? Do you believe in a spiritual reality? I do. I believe that Jesus right now is ruling and reigning his spiritual kingdom, which is the church right now. And he is my king. And he is the one that I submit to. He is the one that I sing to. He's the one that I share for the hope of the world. Jesus is king. And he is working now through his Holy Spirit in his people to, as ambassadors, continue to grow the kingdom of God in a spiritual way, which one day will be physically realized. Do we see him as king? You will submit to something. You will have something tell you what to do and when to be there and how to do it. It might be your boss at work right now who runs everything. He tells you when you can take vacations. He tells you when you can't. It might be your spouse who is speaking down to you, or hemming you in, or oppressing you. It might be social media who's telling you what you need to look like and what you need to listen to and where you need to go and how you need to act. It might be music culture who's helping you with the style guide, who's helping you with the words to use and the slang and what is important about life. But we are today submitting to something. Are you submitting to Jesus as king? We need to see that he is king in order to be able to do that, because he is a good king. He's not someone like that oppressive husband. He's not someone like that tight-fisted boss. He's not someone who is only out for themselves and actually gets a bit of a giggle whenever we self-destruct like social media or music culture. Jesus isn't like that. Jesus laid his life down for you. Jesus invited you, all who are heavy laden, all who need rest, all who are broken down, come to me, learn of me, and I will give you rest. That's Jesus. That is the King that we have. How many of us are excited when we get a decent president, and yet we have a good king? It's good to serve a good king. Do you believe that, Bethel? Do you believe that, those of you who are watching online, do you believe that Jesus is a good king? This is the way that we can have a good day in the middle of a bad time. We have to see Jesus as king, and that's what he's doing right here in Matthew chapter 21. He's walking into town on a donkey saying, "I am king." And the people around him are agreeing. Go back with me, Matthew chapter 21, verse 6 through 8. Matthew chapter 21, verses 6 through 8, we're going to see how they are submitting to him as king. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread out their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them out on the road. They submitted to God as king. They humbled themselves. And they, as it were, they rolled out the red carpet for him. They said, "He's more important than we are." And yet, in a very real way, throwing down the cloaks is even more important. A cloak in the first century was a valuable garment. It was something that was your identity. It was something that even if you were suit of other things, they couldn't take that. And they threw them down on the road for Jesus to walk on. And in a very real way, there's even a symbol of that person laying themselves down before Jesus. Even if I was in that coat, I would lay down on the ground that Jesus might be able to walk over me. Submit is a hard word. But is it his will be done, not yours, in your life? Is there something that you're hanging on to and saying, "Lord, it's clear what you are intending me to do. It's clear the way you're directing me, but I don't want to go there. I can't do that." The way to have a good day in a bad time is to see Jesus as a good king and submit to him. Humble yourselves. Lay yourselves down and trust Jesus, not only for salvation, but for your life. Not only for just your life, but for the small decisions in your life. Know that Jesus is guiding you and leading you through his Holy Spirit. I was telling the guys in the back, I told you we're going to turn to one more book. We'll come back to Matthew 21, but find 1 Peter. Find 1 Peter in your Bible. We're going to go there in just a second. We're going to go there for a couple of reasons. One is that Peter understands what it means to be reinstated by the Lord Jesus. He understands what it means to have a good day, even knowing that he's going to fail. He writes 1 and 2 Peter in the New Testament. I was telling Colin and I was telling Patrick, in the ancient church, some people believe that 1 Peter is actually a baptismal sermon. And so they would read 1 Peter in churches on baptismal days. It's sort of this directive to, now that you have been baptized, this is marching orders, if you will. And so it's not unintentional that I'm using the book of 1 Peter, but I want us to see this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." That's strong. "So that at the proper time he may exalt you." Okay, tell me more. That's good. I like that. How do I do that? "Casting all your anxieties on him." Why? Because he cares for you. Your king your mighty King, your eternal King, your powerful King cares for you. And he invites you into relationship. And so the first way that we can have a good day in a bad time is that we would submit to Jesus as a good King. He loves you more than you love him. He cares for you more than you care for him. You can take your cares, your concerns, and say, Lord, you know what I want. You know what I want so bad that I can taste it. But I'm submitting to you. I'm going to cast my care on you. And Peter knows that. That is the first way that we can find a good day in a bad time. 1 Peter 5. Submitting to King Jesus takes the pressure off you to figure it all out. I don't, maybe your life is not like mine. Maybe it's different. My life has not turned out anything like what I thought it was going to turn out like. At all. I could give you examples. We don't have all day. How about you? Tim, did your life turn out exactly how you thought it was 20 years ago? No? It's better, right? It's better. That's right, Angie. Yep, it's better. So I could go over here. I could, Racinos, like Edward, did your life turn out exactly how you thought it was going to be 5 years ago? Like, no. We're not alone in that. You're not alone in your life not turning out the way that you thought it would. And that is something that we need to submit to God, and we need to be able to go to him and say, we know you're a good King. I don't have to have it all figured out. You're a good King. And so what do we see the people do when they see him as King? They're laying themselves down, laying their cloaks down, laying their valuables down, and Jesus is coming into town. What do we see them doing? We see them doing the second thing, and that's to sing to Jesus as King. Go back in the text with me, Matthew chapter 21, verse 8 and verse 9. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They are singing to Jesus. This isn't just a phrase. This is actually a psalm, Psalm 18. You can see it there. 118, but they are singing to Jesus. Again, it's not that we're singing, it's not just that we're sharing, it's not just that we're submitting, but it's that we're doing to that to Jesus as King. Music is a reinforcer and a revealer of the heart. Music is a reinforcer and a revealer of the heart. Young people, what's on your Spotify? Old people, what's on your Spotify? You can gauge very quickly where your heart is by the music you're listening to. And I'm not saying that there is this type of music or this type of music or what that might be. I have a lot of different kind of music that I listen to, and some of it, when I want to listen to it, it actually tells me something about where my heart is. When there's something, should I go? Oh, all right. So when there's something that pops in, I'm like, you know what? I should really listen to Metallica's "Injustice for All." That's in it. No amens, right? Just saying, when that comes up, I am knowing there's something in my heart that wants to be reinforced in that way. How about you? What music are you going to listen to this week? What music are you going to be tempted to listen to this week? What music are you going to be tempted to sing this week? Because what we listen to, the music that we listen to, is a reinforcer and a revealer of our hearts. So when we're tempted to listen to something, we have the ability to say, is that something that is going to be life-giving, that's going to be fruit of the Spirit building, or is that going to be something that is tearing down what Christ is doing in my life? We have the ability to think like that. I have the ability to think like that. So when we are tempted to listen to something, we can understand that we don't have to listen to that. We can listen to something else. Listen to the Holy Spirit in your life. Young people, the Holy Spirit in your life is speaking all the time. If you know Christ as Savior, you can listen to the Holy Spirit, but I'm not expecting you to know that. I'm expecting you to grow in that. You can do that. That still small voice that says, maybe I shouldn't listen to that. Listen to that voice and put something on a different playlist. You can do that, and you can sing together. What we've done today together, we were teaching one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's good. It's a good day. We're able to sing praise to God. Back to 1 Peter, he says this at the beginning. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him, and you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Is that how you feel about Jesus? I pray it is. And maybe you're walking in and you're getting there. I pray that's where you walk out. That you know that Jesus is a good king who cares for you, invites you to cast your cares on him, and that is submission. And now we say, I want to sing about that. And so I want to sing songs that are going to lift my heart to that place because I need to grow in that way. And we get to come in and we get to sing to one another because singing to King Jesus reminds you and others of what you believe. What are you singing in the car this week? What are you singing with your friends? What are you sharing in your social media and your YouTube and your Spotify and the other sharing apps? What is it that is a priority to you in what you are singing? You can have a good day in the middle of a bad time by singing to Jesus. But the text doesn't stop there. We also see Jesus as king, and they are sharing as we wind down. Matthew chapter 21, verse 10, and when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. We see that now the entourage has come in. Jesus is riding in on a donkey as king. The people who are having this very good day, they are laying down their valuables. They are laying down what identifies them. And they are laying it down that Jesus might walk over them and have authority. And they are singing. They are singing godly praise. They are singing uplifting things to Jesus as king. And people come out and say, what is this? It's Passover. There's a lot of celebration, but this is something else. This stands out to me. What is going on? Back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Do the people around you see you as a hopeful person? Or do the people around you see you as a critical person? Do the people around you see you as a hopeful person? Or do they see you as a joyful person? Do the people around you wonder why you are polite when you are mistreated? Do the people around you wonder why you seem to be impervious to the political and the religious culture of our day? Do people come up and ask, how come you're so even-keeled and you're so kind even when things are not good at home? Something was happening with this triumphal entry. Something was happening in this Palm Sunday. And my brothers and sisters, something can happen this week at Bethel. We can sanctify the Lord as holy in our hearts. We can come to this understanding, and maybe this is the first time you've been here, and maybe you've been here for 40 years, but maybe this week could be a week where we sanctify the Lord as holy in our hearts. We see Him as a good King who's inviting us to cast our cares on Him because He cares for us. That encourages our heart to sing to Him and to sing together, to share godly songs. And then it encourages us to share. We could actually be reaching out to one another and sharing the hope that we have in Christ. In the workplace, on the street, in the mall, in our families. We can do that by the way that we live our lives. We can do that. We can be gentle and kind and consistent and clear with our kids. In consequence, in discipline. We can do that. We can obey our parents with gentleness and with confidence, knowing they are a good parent doing the best they can. Church members, we can go a whole week without backbiting because of something that we don't like in the church. When we do that, we might actually get the question, "You're acting different this week. What's going on?" Well, I'm seeing Jesus as King. I'm submitting to Jesus as King. And I am singing in my heart, and I am sharing Him through the way that I act and the way that I speak. And that is an adventure. Some of you know my testimony. My testimony before Jesus was not a calm or peaceful existence. It was an angry and a hurting existence. Jesus came and He healed the demoniac in my heart. Jesus came and He set me free. Jesus came and He took control of my life by God's grace, and He continues to do it every day. But I did not get saved to have a boring life. I did not get saved to be calm or peaceful in the way that I interact with the world. It might look that way, and that's great. I'm scared to death. I am driven at times, knowing that God is a good God and will not let me fall. Do you want part of that adventure? Do you want part of that Christian life, where we are taking chances together, we are singing together, we are evangelizing together, we are reaching our community together, we are pursuing holiness and purity and Christ together? Do you want that? That's what we have here in the triumphal entry. It is an adventure of a day. They got the whole attention of the city because of what it was that they were doing and the way they were doing it. And so sharing your faith in King Jesus can make every day an adventure. So you can have a good day even when the culture is against you. And even if you know that you're going to fail in the future, you can have a good day by seeing Jesus as King. Right here, Matthew chapter 21, it's exactly what's happening. You can do that, see Him as King, and submit to Him as King. If you haven't done that yet, I beg you, I ask you. If you did do it 20 years ago and you're still not sure about where you're at with that, I pray for you to come and talk to someone. He's a good King. He bled and He died for you this week that we celebrate. Submit to Him. And then as He comes into your heart, and if you can handle it, sing out loud to Him and together, and to share that with the people around you. And I believe as a counselor, as a pastor, you can have more good days even in the middle of a bad time. I'm going to pray for you in that. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank You for Your word. I thank You for the clarity of it. I thank You for the practicality of it. Father, I thank You for the way that You draw us to Yourself the way that you specifically and intentionally develop our lives to be used for your glory after we are saved. Father, I thank you so much for being able to use the brokenness of my past and the hardness of my heart to now care for others who have broken pasts and hard hearts. Father, I pray that as we sing together to you as King, I pray that you are honored and glorified. And this week, Father, I pray that we would jump into the adventure. We would jump into the throng that is historic Christianity, and we would lift you up. In Jesus' name, amen.